Those of you who know it, come on. We are a family of faith-filled, big-thinking followers of Jesus Christ. Amen. That's our mission statement. And before I turn the mic over to your campus pastor, I want to introduce to you this series that we're in, and then I want to introduce your campus pastor. So we thought week one, we should do a sermon series because a lot of people are here and they may not know who we are and who God is and how we kind of give our representation of who God is to the world. So we started this series today called This Is Us. I don't know, maybe you've seen the show, right? This Is Us. We want to tell you over the next 8 weeks who we are and who God has formed us to be. And so today we're going to tell you our mission statement, and we're going to tell you why we're a family of faith-filled, big-thinking followers of Jesus Christ. Over the next 5 Sundays, we're going to tell you the 5 values that are most important to us. And so if you're looking at, well, is this going to be my church? You're going to want to align with these values. They're going to be important to you. And then the last 2 weeks, we're going to share with you where we really believe God is taking us. We're going to share with you the next 5-year vision that we have for the Cross, Mount Dora, Apopka, and the Cross family as a whole. So it's going to be an awesome 8 weeks for you to learn a little bit more about the Cross. And you're going to learn a lot of these weeks from your campus pastor, Mark Crossman. Come on up, Mark. Come on, give it up for Mark. Mark came into our family at the Cross a few years ago, and from the first time I met Mark, I knew there was something different about him. And I'm still not sure if that's a good thing or not. It's actually a great thing, and God has brought our paths together, and I couldn't be more proud and more excited to see Mark be the campus pastor for Apopka. You're going to love this man. He's got a lot of humor. He is from South Africa, not Australia, just so you know. He gets pretty upset when you say it's Australia. His amazing wife, Linda, was up here earlier leading worship for us. Amen. They've got 3 beautiful daughters, and we're so excited for this family and for what God is going to do in Apopka. So I just wanted to pray over Mark and give our blessing, not my blessing, but God's blessing, our church's blessing to you and to all the amazing dream team that have worked so hard. And so will you bow your heads and pray with me as we pray over this man? Lord, we thank you so much for Mark. I thank you for his gifts. I thank you, Lord, for his heart. And I thank you, God, that you've woven our paths together. Lord, you're going to do great things through this man and through his wife and through his family, through the dream team here. And I anoint Mark, you as campus pastor of the Cross Apopka. I declare that God is going to do powerful things in and through you. And it's all going to happen as you are in relationship with Jesus Christ. Out of the overflow of your relationship with him, may this ministry be blessed. And may everything that you do, may everything that we do together glorify the name of Jesus Christ, the name above all names. I pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Mark Crossman, everybody!
Can we give it up? Check, 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 check. Am I live? Have I got power? I've got such power this morning. Feel like Han Solo in the Millennium Falcon for the first time. Can we give it up for Pastor Zach this morning and his wonderful family? And man, we love this family. We love this church. And from the moment we were a part of this church, it just felt like family. There was a sense of family, and there was a sense of we are about Jesus. That's what it's about. The center of everything we do is Jesus focused. And that is what I love about this place. And that is what I love about the people that form this family, is it's all about Jesus. So we're excited about that. So the big moment has arrived, ladies and gentlemen. Here it is. I love big moments until I have to contribute to them. If you know what I mean. I get very excited about big moments, and I get very excited about the possibilities of everything that can happen. But at the same time, very often when it comes to those big moments, I tend to get mixed emotions. I tend to get mixed feelings. On the one hand, I am fully confident that this big, powerful, awesome, amazing God is capable of doing amazing, awesome things.
The problem comes in when I have to somehow marry this big, awesome, amazing God with me. Because as much as I am fully aware of what he is capable of, I am also fully aware of what it is that I am capable of. And what I have come to realize in my life is that one of the biggest things we have to walk through, one of the biggest things we have to wrestle through as Christians, is we have somehow got to make peace with the fact that this awesome, powerful God likes to do awesome, powerful things through imperfect, small, insignificant people. And the question then becomes, how do we marry those two? I know that God is the one that spoke the universe into creation. I also know that I'm the guy that tried to make a homemade pizza last week, and when it came out of the oven, it looked like a football with cheese on it. It was the weirdest pizza ever made in the history of man. It was this fat ball, and it had like cheese dripping over it, and I called the kids into the kitchen. I said, check this out, and I ran away screaming because it kind of looked like a clown severed head. But anyway, so that wasn't good. I'm aware of the fact that God is the one that splits the Red Sea. I'm also aware of the fact that a week ago I had to call my wife to help me unclog the toilet because I was losing the battle, ladies and gentlemen. And there's a rhythm to these things that apparently I have not learnt the art of. I am fully aware of the fact that God is the one that literally breathes life into the universe, but I'm also aware of the fact that I'm the guy that ran out of gas after staring at that little red button for 2 days. And when I got asked if the button went on, if the light went on, I said, yes, the light did go on. So why on earth did you not put gas in your car if the light was on? And I have no answer to these questions. Hashtag living on the edge, ladies and gentlemen. So what we face with and what we have to deal with is this interesting dilemma where we know that God has great plans and we know that God wants to do great things, but at the same time, we are fully aware of just how insignificant we actually are. So where does that leave us this morning? How do we define ourselves? I believe today that the reality is that if we do not get a godly perspective on who it is that we are, we will miss the big God-ordained moments in our lives because we have essentially made our weaknesses greater than God's strengths. And I want to say to you that one of the most dangerous forms of idolatry is when we place our weaknesses above God's strengths. I've come to realize in my life that it's in these moments when I rob myself that it's not that I don't believe that God is capable of doing great things, but rather it's that I can't reconcile the fact that I'm an imperfect person with so many problems and so many issues, and somehow he wants to use me in those moments. And the question then becomes, how do we move forward with this reality? How do we move forward? How do we put ourselves in a place where God can use us to do mighty things, but not live in a life of denial where we are unaware of who it is that we are? And this morning, I want to attempt to answer some of those questions. And in order for me to do it, I want to look at a young man named Gideon. Gideon is, for me, one of my, he's one of those underdog characters in the Bible. I love this guy. I love Gideon. I love what Gideon does. And in the story, we find this in Judges, in the story of Gideon, God calls Gideon to a massive moment. Way bigger than this moment. God calls this young man essentially to free the Israelites from the Midianites. And if you know anything about the story of Gideon, Gideon goes on to defeat an army of 135,000 men with 300 men. This is unbelievable. It gives me a little bit of hope this morning when I look out at this place. Maybe, just maybe, the 200 of us sitting in this building can do what needs to be done to reach an entire city of Apopka. I want to tell you this morning that with God, all things are possible. So God comes to Gideon and God calls Gideon to this great big moment where he wants to do things in Gideon. And you've got to look at this whole thing and go, well, if God is calling Gideon to do this big thing, Gideon must be a confident guy, right? Must be. This guy must be so confident. This guy must have all the answers. This guy must be a guy that believes in himself. This guy must be a guy that has lots of success behind his name. When you look at Gideon's resume, it's got to be a very impressive resume. Why on earth would God call somebody that doesn't have the resume to do what God calls Gideon to do? There's no ways that would happen. So come with me. Let's look at this quickly in Judges 6 verses 12 to 16. This is such an incredible piece of scripture. And what happens here is this is the moment when the angel of the Lord appears to Gideon, this awesome guy that's going to go defeat the Midianites. And look at what happens here. Verse 12, it says this. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor." Listen to Gideon's response. I'm expecting a response here, something to the tune of, "I know, bro. I know. I got this. Listen to this. The Lord said to him, "You're a mighty man of valor." Gideon said this to him, "Please, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, then why has all this happened to us? And where are all his wonderful deeds that our fathers recounted to us, saying, 'Did not the Lord bring us from Egypt?' But now the Lord has forsaken us into the hands of the Midianites." And the Lord turned to him and said, "Go in this might of yours and save Israel from the hand of the Midian. Do not I send you?" And he said to him, "Please, Lord, how can I save Israel? Behold, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house." And the Lord said to him, here it is. Listen to this morning. This defines Gideon. "But I will be with you, and you shall strike down the Midianites as one man." And there's this unbelievable moment where God comes to this young man named Gideon and he says to him, "Hey son, I've called you to big things. I've called you to great things. I've called you to impossible things. Are you ready for the moment?" And Gideon responds by saying, "Lord, you've got the wrong guy, right? Nothing good has ever happened in my life. I have played the lotto a million times and I've never won, not even once. I've tried a million different things and nothing has ever happened for me. You have forsaken us. I've got a life that just looks like a disaster. There is no success in my background. There is no great achievements in my background." And Gideon goes on to say this to the Lord. He's like, "I am a part of the weakest tribe in Manasseh. I can't even claim that I come from a strong bloodline. And then on top of that, I am the least in my father's house." It's kind of like Gideon is going, "I can't get any lower, Lord. Like, let me just find the lowest spot humanly possible and place myself there." And he says to him, "Listen, there's no way you can use me in the big moment because I'm too insignificant. I'm too small. I'm too fallible. I'm too all these different things." And I believe that if you read this portion of scripture, there's a couple of key moments where God says a couple of key things. And essentially what the Lord does is he changes the conversation. He shifts the focus and he says this. The first thing he says to Gideon is it not me that is the one that is sending you? I am the one that sends you, Gideon. And I believe that it's in this moment where God is essentially saying to Gideon, "I understand that the mission I'm calling you is great, but it's not about the mission, Gideon. It's about the master that does the calling. It's not about the size of the mission. It's about the size of the God that calls you and that sends you and that anoints you, Gideon." And we're not asking you, Gideon, to ignore your shortcomings and to pretend like you're perfect. But I want to say to you, Gideon, this morning, that it's not about where you're at. It's about who I am, says the Lord. And Gideon, and the Lord goes on, he says this. He says to Gideon, "Oh Gideon, I am with you. You are a mighty man of valor." I want to tell you this morning that it's not about the size of the guy in the fight in front of you, but it's about the size of the God that is with you. And this morning as I was thinking through, who are we? Who is it that we are? How do we define ourselves? I want to say to you this morning that we are the ones that he calls. We are the ones that he restores. We are the ones that he heals.
We are the ones that he anoints. We are the ones that he sends. This morning we are not defined by our earthly experience, but we are defined by his heavenly expression. Are you with me this morning? It's about the king of the call, and let us be a family of people. Let us be a group of people that do not define and do not limit what God can do based upon what we've experienced or based upon who we are. And I want to say to you this morning, I think it is healthy to know who you are. I think it's healthy to allocate where you are. I think it's healthy to have a clear perspective of who you are. But don't ever allow that to stop God from using you in the big moments, because our God is so much greater. He is so much bigger. He is so much more magnificent than your failures will ever be. Let us not fall into the trap where we define ourselves by our shortcomings, but let's live our life in a way where we are defined by his grace, by his love, by his mercy, and by his calling. Church, I want to tell you this morning that we are the ones that he calls, very simply. And as we look at this series and as we are going to go through some things this morning, who are we? What are we called to do? Well, we are the ones that have responded to the call. We are the ones that will go where he sends us. That is who we are. We are no longer defined by our past, but we are defined by the call. We are the ones who through faith will see kingdoms conquered, justice enforced, promises ordained, the mouths of lions stopped, the power of fire quenched, and lives changed in the city of Apopka and beyond. Our weaknesses will be made strength because we are the ones that are called. We are a family that responds to the call of Jesus. And this morning as we go through this, I want to remind you of a beautiful piece of scripture. Check this out. Romans 8 verses 30 says this. It says, "And having chosen them," it's speaking about us this morning, "he called them to come to him. And having called them, he gave them right standing with himself." I want to say to you this morning that we have right standing with God, not because of us, but because of him. It's because he reached out. It's because he bore the penalty of sin upon himself that we could never bear. He is the one that does the work. And this morning we can stand before him in right standing, not because we're perfect, but because he is the one that saves. And he is the one that redeems. We can be confident this morning. We can run this race with confidence. We can go into the throne room of grace with absolute boldness, not because of us, but because of him. And it goes on and says this, "And having given them right standing, he gave them his glory." What a beautiful, beautiful piece of scripture here this morning. And it says to us that he is the one that calls. He is the one that saves. He is the one that sends. He is the one that anoints. Let us never be a people that defines ourselves by our shortcomings, but let us be a people that define ourselves by what the calling is and what the King of Kings has spoken into our lives from heaven. So today what I want to do is I want to go through this, and there's four main things that I want to touch on this morning. And I believe that as God calls us, he does not just call us into something, but God has a way of calling us away from something. So I want you to just come with me, and I want to show you a couple of things, but let's go through this together and let's look at where he is calling us to. We are a family that's been called. And the first thing God will do is he calls us from isolation to family. He calls us from a life of isolation to a life of family and to a life of community. I don't think ever before in the history of the world have we been more connected and more disconnected all at the same time, right? Man, it's amazing how we seem to know everything about everybody. We're connected and we wake up and we check out Facebook and Instagram and we know what's going on in people's lives and we know what's happening on that side of the country and we know what's happening on this side of the country. But what we have found is that the more connected we seem to be, the less connected we actually are. We are living in a world where the illusion of control and the luxury of comfort have made us believe that we don't really need people. We're living in a time where the illusion of control and the luxury of technology has put us in a place where we seem to believe that we don't really need people.
It's amazing. I feel sometimes like we live in this space where we think to ourselves, man, if I can just get myself into a place where I've got a good job, if I can just get myself into a place where I've got a nice house, if I can just get myself to a place where I've got good cell phone coverage, Verizon, ladies and gentlemen, we'll tick that box for you. If I can just get myself to a place where all these things are working, then maybe I can go it alone. Maybe I don't need anybody else in my life. And I want to say to you this morning that we are literally created for family. We are created for community. We are created to be together. And if we buy into the lie that we can make it in isolation, I'm telling you, you're going to find yourself in trouble. A while back, my wife was out of town, and she asked me if I would go fetch the kids from school, which meant that I had to go through the kid drive-through. This is a big moment today, but that is a bigger moment and a more impossible task. I don't know if you have kids, but going through the kid drive-through is the worst thing created in the creation. I firmly believe that hell is just a permanent loop of picking up your kids from school. And then after you pick them up from school, you've got to brush their hair without a wet brush. This is hell, ladies and gentlemen. So my wife says to me, hey, why don't you go fetch the kids? And it was about at this moment where my arrogance caught me. I became arrogant. I became sloppy. I became lax. And what happened was, is I got into the car and I just sort of had shorts on. I had a t-shirt on. I'm a pastor, so I work one day a week. So I was looking very casual on this particular day. And I made one vital error on this particular day. So I've got this very strict ritual. I'm not a guy that's very disciplined. I'm not a guy for structure. But there is one rule I never break. It does not matter, ladies and gentlemen, what percentage my cell phone is on when I go to bed. I've got to plug that thing in. Are you with me? I got to plug that puppy. It is dangerous. Listen to me. It is dangerous to believe the lie that 90% will get you through the next day. It just won't, ladies and gentlemen. So my phone was at about 90%. And I had this moral dilemma of, do I plug it in or do I not plug it in? And I finally decided, you know what? Hashtag living on the edge. I'm not going to plug this thing in. So I decided to not plug it in. Woke up the next morning. The power had like sort of dipped a little bit, but we were still good. You know what I mean? I still felt fairly confident. I was like, hey, you know, so I might run out of gas. I might run out of a little bit of juice by 5 o'clock. But at that moment, I'll disengage the cellular world and I'll just be a man making fires in the forest, rubbing sticks together. I'm a manly man, right? So what happens was is just a whole bunch of things happened, a whole bunch of things out of my control. And the moment came that I had to go fetch my kids and I walked to the car and I don't have shoes on and I just have shorts on and I've got a t-shirt on because I was just very smoothly going to drive through the drive-through, pick up my sweet little angels and bring them back to the house. It was going to be beautiful, ladies and gentlemen. So I get in the car and I start driving and the next thing I know, my cell phone runs out of energy and I see that dreaded little circle thing and I'm like, no. And the phone dies and I'm like, okay. Life is about adversity, but just keep your cool. Don't lose it. Just stay focused. We're gonna make it. So I drive, the phone is dead, but I've still got my trusty steed. I've still got my chariot of glory. I've still got my old car that will never leave me or forsake me. And I got about 2 blocks from the school and my car dies. In you know, you think you're in control. You think you got this thing figured out. You know what I mean? You think you've got life figured out. You're living in America now and everything is great. You've got a car. You've got an iPhone. It's all great. And then all of a sudden, within a minute, it's all taken away from you. It's just stripped from you. And you're alone and you're scared and you're bewildered and you've got cars behind you with people honking their horns and big men from Lake County with guns that want to kill you and you're afraid. And you don't know what to do, and I don't know who to call, and I don't know what to do with a car because I'm a pastor. These hands have never touched mechanical things. And I'm just sitting in the car, and all of a sudden I put my hands like this on the steering wheel, and I start crying like a little girl. I'm just crying, and I'm bawling, and I'm like, Lord, why have you forsaken your servant? And next thing you know, I get this knock on the window, and it's this really scary man, and I open up the window and I look up at him and the mascara is just running. I'm like,
I'm like, yes, sir. And he says, would you like a push? I'm like, please don't push me. He's like, no, no, no. Get out of the car. Get out of the car. We're going to push your car out of the road. I'm like, you want to help? You want to help me? He's like, yes, I want to help you. I'm like, thank you. So I get out of the car and we push my car into this little foresty area. And I'm like, thank you so much. And he goes, okay, buddy. All righty then. So yeah, I'll see you around, cowboy. And off he goes. And I'm like, I don't know what to do right now. But the school is pretty close, so let me start running. And I start running to the school. And I'm running barefoot with these shorts on. And it's sweaty. And I had a carton of milk, so I had a little bit of milk. So there's milk falling. And this lady stops me. And she goes, she yells out of her window at me. She's like, you poor thing, are you okay? And I'm like, yes, I'm okay. She's like, do you want some water or bread or shelter or... are you okay? And I'm like, no, ma'am, I'm not homeless. My phone died. That's what's happened. Basically, my phone died is why I'm in the state right now. So she goes, well, hop on in, sweetheart. We'll take you right up onto the school. I don't know why every American accent I have is cowboy, but that's what you got. So I hop into the car and she takes me to the school. She drops me off. I arrive at the admissions office and they're like, oh my poor man, are you okay? I'm like, yes, I'm fine. Where did you come from? Well, I live like 10 minutes down the road, but my phone died and then my car died and it's been a weird day. So they give me my kids. I had to prove a million times that I was in fact the father. They finally handed them over with a police officer sort of escorting me and the kids into the parking lot. And finally another lady sees me. She goes, hey, Pastor Mark? I'm like, no, it's not me. She's like, this is what you look like when it's on a Sunday? I'm like, pretty much. I put on a very false appearance on a Sunday, to be honest with you. So she goes, okay, well, hop in the car. I'll take you home. And I hop in the car and she took me home. And it was just this, I get home and later on I speak to Linda and I'm like, I had the most amazing day, actually. I thought I was going to die and I thought it was all over and I thought I'd lost the children. But outside of that, I had this amazing moment where people came and they helped me. People that I didn't even know. People that I had never even had a conversation with. Strangers were coming to me saying, hey man, can we help you? What do you need? Where do you need to go? And I want to say to you this morning that if your trust is in a system, if your trust is in your own ability to take yourself to where you need to go, you're going to find yourself in deep, deep trouble. We need one another. We need people. We need family. And man, there's nothing more beautiful than family. There's this amazing moment in the book of Genesis where God speaks to Adam, and I want to give you the context of this, right? So Adam is in paradise. It can't get any better, right? He's in this beautiful place and he's with animals and he's in paradise and it's perfect and there is no sickness and there is no disease and it's literal paradise and it's Adam and it's God and they're doing life together. And it's in this moment that God comes to Adam and says, hey, Adam, can I tell you something? It is not good for you to be alone. So I'm going to make you a partner. And I want to say to you this morning that some people will say things like, well, it's just me and God. Hallelujah. I don't need anybody. You've become so spiritually minded that you are now no longer any earthly good. Okay, so here's the thing. It's not just about you and him. It's about you, him, and the church. It's about you, him, and family. It's about you and him and being connected with people. And I want to tell you, man, if there's one thing that defines this place, it is this point. That's why I'm taking a bit of time this morning. We are a family. We are a family that lives together, that dies together, that bleeds together. We're a family that does life together. If you're in that place this morning where you're isolated and you are alone, hear the call this morning where God goes, I no longer want you to be alone, but I'm drawing you into my family. Come and be a part of the church. Come and be a part of a movement. Next thing this morning, he calls us from being fearful to faithful. He calls us from being fearful to faithful. I am fearful right now that I cannot see how much time I have left and I will talk forever. So just might want to let me know. You guys might be until lunchtime tomorrow. But God calls us from being fearful to faithful. I don't know if you guys played, oh, that's, oh, okay, so let me, 57 minutes left. Good stuff. Thanks, guys. Just kidding. Okay, he calls us from being, I don't know if you guys played this game when you were kids, but we played this really silly game in South Africa when we were kids. And to be fair, before there were cell phones and internet, kids played a lot of really silly games. But we played this game called Stuck in the Mud, right? And I don't know if you ever played this game, but Stuck in the Mud was this game where there was one team on this side, one team on that side. There was a bunch of grass in the middle, and you would run around. And if somebody tagged you, you would literally just have to stand still like a salt pillar. You were stuck in the mud until one of your friends came and tagged you, and then you could run again. I have no idea who wins this game. I have no idea what the purpose is of this game. I can only tell you this about Stuck in the Mud. There is nothing worse in the world, I remember as a kid, than being at a party and being ready to run like my pants are on fire and being tagged by the first irritating little bratty kid. Tag! And you're like, I'm stuck in the middle of this awesome running around party and I can't move because I'm stuck in the mud. And I'm watching everybody else have a good time. I'm watching everybody else run around. But here I am stuck in the mud. And it's so funny that I've come to realize as an adult that that game really has never ended for me. Being stuck in the mud is not just something that I played when I was a kid, but being stuck in the mud is a game that we play in this life. I want to say to you this morning that it is absolutely impossible for you to go through this life and to not be tagged by disappointment. It is impossible for you to go through this life and to not be tagged by failure and to not be tagged by hurt, to not be hurt by people. It's impossible. It is impossible to walk through this life and to not be touched by these disappointing moments. And what I've come to realize is what happens is if we're not careful, we quickly find ourselves being stuck in the mud that is fear. And there we are. And we are completely crippled by fear and we don't want to move out of where we are because we're so afraid that we might be hurt again. We're so afraid that we might fail again. Isn't it amazing how fear is a neutralizer? And what it does is it will come into your life and it will neutralize you and it will put you in a place where you're not moving. What is worse in this world than being stuck in the middle of your own life? What is worse than living a life where everybody around you is busy moving forward and everybody around you is being used by God and anointed by God and everybody else is going where they need to go and you are just stuck right there in the mud because you're so afraid that if you opened up your heart one more time to one more person, you would get hurt again, you would get disappointed again. There's some of you in this place this morning and there was a time where you dreamt big God dreams. But then life came and it tagged you and it touched you and it pushed you a little bit and it made fun of you a little bit. And you've gotten to a place now where you don't even dare to try to dream anymore. Because what's going to happen and how's it going to work? Let me tell you what I've realized in my life. Grace is the person that comes and tags you in the mud and says, you are free, brother. Come and run with me again. I want to tell you this morning that grace is the thing that feeds faith. It is the belief that our God is bigger than our failure that gets us moving again. If it is the fear of failure that keeps us stuck in the mud, it is the hope in His redemption that keeps us moving forward. And I want to say to you this morning that there's been times in my life where even living for God, I've been so fearful that I would make a mistake. Lord, I want to live for you, I want to run for you, I want to go for you, but I'm so scared that if I somehow just misstep on the tightrope that is your calling in my life, that it will be finished with me, that it will be over with me. And it's taken me a long time to realize that God goes, man, I want you to run on that tightrope for me because if you fall, I am the net that catches you. If you go in the wrong direction, I will reroute you. I am a GPS of note, baby. I will get you to where you need to go. It is His grace. It is His mercy. It is His forgiveness. It is His healing. It is His ability to redeem that which is irredeemable that gives faith life. And which puts us in a place where we can be bold and we can run for Him. My daughter and I started a volleyball league called the Benchwarmers. It's a long story. we've started this little league, and it's for a bunch of middle schoolers, and I just kind of felt like my life wasn't challenging enough. And so I decided to add this to the pile, and it's going really great. So we've got this one kid that comes every week, and his name is Austin Levski. And Austin is just a wild kid. He just does whatever he wants. He's the only guy that comes in the whole group of middle schoolers. So normally when we play against the middle school girls, he will be on my side. So it's me, Austin, and three coaches against an army of middle school girls, right? It is the most frightening thing you've ever seen in your life, staring over that net. So every time little Austin gets up to serve, so we've taught everybody to serve underhand because we're not like Russian Olympians, okay? So let's serve underhand. Every time Austin gets to the line and I throw him the ball, he's like, today's the day. And he'll throw that thing up and he'll launch his little body into it. He's like, ah! You know, he does the Monica Seles grunt and he hits this thing. And one time he hit the janitor in the head. One time he hit a flag. One time he hit the ball right into the concession stand. At no point at any time ever has Austin gotten near the actual court. Okay, it just flies all over the place. And I went to him the other day and I said to him, Austin, I'm the glass is half full kind of a guy. So I love your enthusiasm. But you don't have to hit this ball as hard as you can every single time you serve. And he looks at me and he says to me, Coach Mark, one day that ball is going to go in. Might not be today. Might not be tomorrow. But one day soon it's going to go in. And when that day comes, it's going to be glorious. And I gave Austin a little high five and I said, you keep on going, buddy. And this guy just had no fear of failure whatsoever. Austin just had this attitude of, I'm going to go and I'm going to give everything that I have. I want to encourage you this morning. Let us give God everything we have. Let us run for Him with every breath, with every step. Let's bump our heads. Let's get splinters in our feet. Let's hit our fingers with hammers. Let's do what we need to do because He can fix it. He can heal it. He can redeem it. And grace is not a license to sin, but grace is an opportunity to give Him everything without the fear of failure. I had a beautiful scripture that would go with this. Where is it? Here it is. 2 Timothy 1 verse 7 says this, for the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but it gives us power, love, and self-discipline. Next one this morning, and I've got to wrap up now. He calls us from inward thinking to big thinking. He calls us from inward thinking to big thinking. Man, I'll tell you what, we are living in a world that is constantly telling us that life will be found in our ability to accumulate things. The more accomplishments we accumulate, the more things we accumulate, the more money we accumulate, the more we accumulate will be the thing that defines the amount of success that we have. I'm starting to believe that this is the world we live in. This is the culture that we're in. And then Jesus comes and He says this. Listen to this. Matthew 10 verses 39. For whoever finds their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. And it's this unbelievably countercultural statement where Jesus comes and He says, listen, true life is not found in your ability to accumulate. True life is not found in your ability to build yourself up. True life is not found in that, but true life is actually found in your ability to let go. True life is found in your ability to be empty. True life is found in your ability to be selfless. I truly believe this morning that when we speak about big thinking, we're speaking about selfless living. When we speak about small thinking, we're speaking about a life that is simply lived for self. Man, if you're going to live a life that is no bigger than yourself, you will lose yourself in the process. There is no amount of accumulation that you could do that can provide real life. And when Jesus comes and says, if you lose your life, you will find it, I believe He's saying two things. I think first off, He's saying, listen, stop living a life where you trust in yourself because you can never save yourself. Start living a life where you trust in Me because I am the Redeemer. I am the Savior. This is what I do. But I also believe what He's saying is this. Let us stop living lives that are simply focused on us and us getting bigger and us getting more. But let us live lives that are selfless lives where we put those that have less than us above us. Let us be servants. Let us be selfless. There's this amazing thing that happens in South Africa. And it's when they want to try to catch a monkey, they do a funny thing. So what they'll do is they'll take a melon or they'll take a pumpkin in South Africa. This is a real story. And what they'll do is they'll chain this thing to the ground and they'll put it just in the middle of the bush and they'll cut this tiny little hole into this pumpkin. Tiny, 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 just small enough that a little hand can just squeeze through that little hole. And what they do is they set the whole scene up, they leave, and then what happens is in the middle of the night, the little monkeys come, and they can smell that pumpkin, they can smell that melon, and they come, and they come, and they come, and they'll squeeze their little hands right through that little hole in the melon. And once they get their hands on the inside, there's a bunch of gooey, wonderful, sweet-tasting stuff. And what these little monkeys do is they'll grab a whole fistful of this, and then when they try to pull their arm out of the melon... Wow, that's a good flex. Okay. Drink it in, ladies. Okay. When they try to pull that their hand out of this melon, their own fist is the thing that entraps them. It's their own fist. And what happens is it's unbelievable. The next day the poachers will come and catch these little monkeys stuck in the pumpkins because they entrap themselves by their inability to let go of the things that are not important in this life. True life is not found in your ability to hold on. True life is found in your ability to let go. And as we let go and as we live selfless lives... Last but not least, this morning, we are a church that is called by Jesus to stop following the world and to start following Him. This is a church that is called by Jesus. How shall we define ourselves? We shall define ourselves by the fact that we are a group of people. We are a family of faithful, big-thinking people that have been called by Jesus to follow Him wherever He might go. I want to say this to you, and this is one of the things that I love about this church, and this is one of the promises I want to make you this morning. I want to promise you that we will never be a church that is simply about principles. Hear me this morning. We will never be a church that is simply about principles. And I think what is so difficult sometimes as the church is because God has gifted us so much truth, we can very quickly fall into the trap where we become life coaches with good principles. And you come in here and we kind of coach you how to live your life better. I want to say to you that principles don't mean much without the prince. Principles don't mean much without the person. Power is found in the man that is Jesus Christ. And in this church, it's not simply about the principles, but it is about the man. It is about the God. It is about the Savior that is behind the truth. And His name is Jesus. And I want to say to you today that as a church, it is our calling. It is our pleasure. It is our opportunity to simply leave everything else behind and to say, Lord, I will no longer be defined by my own thoughts about myself. I will no longer be defined by my past. I will no longer be defined by my fears. I will no longer be defined by my erratic mental beliefs. I will be defined by the fact that You are the one that calls me. And when You call me, I will follow. And when You call me, I will go. And when You call me, I'll come near You. And I believe this morning with all my heart that it is as we start to follow Christ that the principles come and the change comes and the redemption comes. So often I sit with people and they come to me and they say to me, man, my life is a mess. Where do I begin? What do I do? And what I say to them is, here's what I want you to do. Keep on worshiping the King of Kings. Here's what I want you to do. Keep leaning into Jesus. You cannot be with this man Jesus. You cannot be in His presence and not be transformed and not be changed by His amazing grace and by His amazing love. So this morning I'm going to ask all of you to stand up with me in this place. Martin Luther once said this. Martin Luther King Jr. said this once. Take the first step in faith. You don't have to see the whole staircase. Just take the first step. And this morning I'm going to ask that as we stand in this room, let us close our eyes and let us bow our heads in this place. And maybe you're in here this morning and you don't even know how you got here. You don't even know what led you to this moment. All you know is that your life is a mess. Your life is not perfect. You've stopped dreaming a long time ago. You have found yourself in a position where you're isolated from everybody and everything. You're living your life in fear. You have found yourself at the bottom of a miry pit, and there is no escaping from it. But this morning I'm asking you to not have all the answers. This morning I'm not asking you to be perfect. But this morning I'm asking you to simply respond to the call from the King that says to you this morning, sons and daughters, come with me. Take the first step this morning. So if you're in this place today and you feel far from God, and maybe you've never been in a real relationship with Jesus Christ. Maybe you were in a relationship with Him a long time ago, but you've walked away. You're disconnected. You're no longer serving Him. You're no longer in relationship with Him. If that is you this morning, then I want to invite you into this first step of faith. Come and say this prayer with me this morning. I'm going to say a prayer with you. And if that is you this morning, you want to pray with me, then quickly, just raise your hand in this place. 1, 2, 3, raise it up. Eyes closed, heads bowed in this place. Nobody looking around. This is between you and Jesus this morning. And repeat this after me. Say, Lord Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for me. Thank you for taking all your sins, all my sins upon yourself. Thank you, Lord, that you rose again on the third day. Thank you, Father, that you are seated at the right hand of the Father. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy and your grace. Thank you, Father, for your forgiveness. Father, I want to pray for every single person in this place today that they will be reconnected, reunited with you, Father. I thank you, Lord, this morning that we no longer need to be defined by our past, by our failings, by our shortcomings, but we are defined by the name which you call us, Lord. So this morning, I want to say welcome, everybody. I want to officially say welcome to a family of faithful, big thinking followers of Jesus Christ. We are here. This is us. And you are welcome to be with us this morning. So what we are going to do today is this. We're going to do one last song, but man, I wish I could give you some keys to the house. You know what I mean? I wish I could just say to you, hey, welcome to the family. Here's some keys. Come and go as you please. Is that impossible? Wait a minute. I need some help from the dream team. Where's the dream team? Is the dream team out there somewhere? I believe the dream team is going to give me a hand. I believe we've potentially missed our cue. Talk amongst yourselves for 2 seconds. This worked amazing in my head. Just hang on. Just give me the thumbs up. All right. There's the dream team. Well, there's like one person handing out things very slowly. Okay, so here's what we want to do this morning. We want to give each and every single one of you a little token, a little memento, a little gift from us, just welcoming you into the family. So we've got a little key for every single person. Yeah, I'm getting a key. So it's a little key this morning, and it just says, welcome home. Okay, here they come. Welcome to the dream team, ladies and gentlemen. Hey! Give it to them, not me. Them, go. Oh, just kick the TV. It's all falling apart, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, so I'm going to say one final prayer this morning, and then if you will, praise with us one more time, one more song this morning. Father, we want to thank you for who you are in this place, Lord. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace, Father. Thank you for the calling you've placed on our lives, Father. We do this for you. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said,
amen.